following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
One of the things that I think that as we over the years have discovered in doing marriage ministry is that there are very few things that we can't relate with people over. That we, as if you look around the room tonight, just take a quick glance around, different ages, different years married, probably some of us 30, 40 years married, some of us 30, 40 years old. Look around, and the reality is, and this is what we found, is that there are so many ways that we're alike in this thing called marriage. And it only takes a little while getting together, talking, sharing, and we will find that some of the same arguments are the same arguments that we have. Some of the most incredible difficulties, we can share in that together. We found some of the same TV shows we connect over with couples, that this room is really filled with a bunch of people who can connect over a lot of different things, and it only takes us getting together, talking about it, sharing about it. And we found in sharing, there's great healing. There's great encouragement. You can develop great friendships. And so that's kind of the point of tonight. We kind of thought of it as like it's a low cost. It's not going to take a whole lot of your time, but it's going to get you in the door, and it's going to get you talking about marriage. And I wonder tonight, how many guys, this is one of the things we share, how many guys were convinced by their wives through some bargaining chip, like, hey, I'll let you watch the football games on Sunday if you come with me tonight. Hey, I'll let you golf tomorrow. You can sleep in tomorrow. You can put the honey-do list away. I wonder how many of you guys got here tonight because of that. Or maybe you just came because, hey, I love our marriage and I love talking about our marriage. But whichever it is, we are so glad that you're here tonight. I believe that the Lord over the next coming years is going to do a lot with this ministry, a lot of fun things we're going to do together. So this is kind of the kickoff. And you're here. This is the start. And so we're excited about you being here. I think Bethany's got a couple things.
Yeah, just a couple people we wanted you to introduce you guys to when we first were thinking about starting Refuge Married Life and just bringing all the marriage ministries at Refuge together. We met with Bob and Nancy Osagera. Do you guys mind standing up? I hate to put you on the spot. But they're one of our premarital couples. There's some other premarital counseling couples in here, but they also lead marriage home group as well. So we met with them, and then also the Rodriguezes, Mike and Susie. I'm not sure if they're here tonight, but you can clap for them anyway. But they put together the Married Couples Retreat. So we met with them and just prayed with them and just decided we want to be working together and, just serving one another and growing from one another. So, and then we were doing young married couples and some crisis counseling here and there and just decided there's just so much we can do together as a married couple.
And let me just say this. Marriages are great bridges to get people to this place to know who Jesus is. Because oftentimes in marriage, if we're struggling, if we're hurting, we just want to get somewhere where we can get this help. And we've found over the years that that's a bridge oftentimes for a couple to say, we're tired of this. Like, we can't live this way anymore. We're just not happy. And they come and they experience the joy of being in this place with all you all here at Refuge. And they experience the joy of talking about marriage and the difficulties that they're having. They start to share, and something starts to connect with them, and we know that to be the Lord. And he starts to reach in and say, hey, listen, there's better things. You can have better things. There's happiness in marriage. And they begin to just change. And so I want to say this. Tonight is for you all, but I'm guessing that amongst us all, we have friends and neighbors and family members who this could be for in March. That this could be an event that you say, my church is doing this thing, just come with us. Just check it out. We'll pay for your dinner. We'll go out to coffee afterwards, and we'll pay for that. But you could get them here so they can hear something that may just touch their heart and begin to change not only just their marriage but their lives. And so I want to just say that this marriage is for you, but it's also for those people maybe who are just like, I just need to know. I don't know what's going on, but I need something. And so would you commit to just say, hey, next in March, I'm going to bring someone. I'm just going to bring a friend, a family member, someone who needs to hear this message. Amen? Amen. And now, without further ado, I would just say probably one of the best couples that we could ever have grace this stage and has impacted selfishly my life probably more than any other marriage because my mom and dad are separated. And so it was always hard for me to see what does marriage look like? And so I married this woman down here and she began to share with me like how marriage actually really does work. And she only knows because of these two, right? So let's listen to them tonight and let's hope the Lord and pray that the Lord uses them tonight.
Does anybody agree with me that marriage is a mystery?
I just wrote that down.
You have no idea.
Great
minds think alike. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You dropped your pen. It's underneath there. Bless you.
I knew she'd come alive in the moment. I knew that the moment would.
You know, God's always faithful. One of the things that, I don't know. I won't talk about it right now.
You can.
No, it's not in the notes yet.
How many of you guys know us well enough to know that we're different? How many of you, come on, honestly, you know that we're very different people? We'll talk about the fact that we agree on the essentials. But Shannon, I know I will forget which button to push here.
The brown one.
There's a red light on. Orange. I see an orange light.
Sure, orange.
Okay. Okay. Is that it?
Okay.
Is that it?
See, one of the differences between us is I would have asked before we got in here.
Yeah. That's right. Like
just
staying. 3 days before.
Yes, about 3 days before, so that I would know exactly what I'm doing right now.
But okay.
I only work here.
Oh, this is going to be more fun than I had planned.
You have no idea.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm only going to share this song because I was asked to do it. How many of you came to our last couples retreat? Okay, I shared that there. I call this Eye to Eye. How many of you have heard it? Have you heard me do it? Okay. I went to the NAMM show, that music show this week, and I ran into a guy who I wouldn't say he's an acquaintance. He's a great blues player and sort of Delta blues. Doug McLeod is his name. And last year I sat down with him and I said, I wrote this song for my grandson or my grandchildren. And I said, do you have any grandchildren? He said, well, none that I know of. And but a really fun guy. And he really liked it. And I said, you know, I wrote one for my wife, too. And I just shared a few of the lines with him. And he said he liked it. But anyway, I wrote this for Joy because we're with her in mind. And I have to always share this disclaimer. It is not completely autobiographical. It's just about the differences between us. And you will find yourself and your marriage somewhere in this song. So. Drive fast, you drive slow, and I like the beach and you like the snow. Oh baby, we just don't see eye to eye. How many of you, I've hit you already? I like milkshakes and you like malts, and I love pepper and you love salt, and it's not my fault that we don't see eye to eye. Talk about absolution. I've come up with the perfect solution. Listen very carefully to me. Just gonna say this and I hope that it floats. You wanna might wanna take that pen and jot down a few notes. I guess we'd better just do things my way. Amen, men? Okay. Well, I like summer, you like spring and I like it pretty simple, and you like the bling, and it's just this thing that we don't see eye to eye. 'Cause I like my veggies and you like steak, and you're always early, I'm constantly late. Oh, it must be fate that we don't see eye to eye. Tell you the truth, I kinda like it that way, 'cause life is a bore if we're exactly the same. But all the same, there's just one thing to say. I'm just gonna say this and hope that it floats, and you might even want to jot down some more notes. There'd be a lot less stress if we just do things my way. Like classical and I like the blues, and there's just one more difference between me and you. It's true that we don't see eye to eye. 'Cause you're the life of the party and I'm kinda shy, and you make me crazy and I make you cry, and I don't know why we don't always see eye to eye. Sing and you like to dance, and I guess you could say that we both love romance. Hey, maybe there's a chance we might see eye to eye. Here's the best part. 'Cause you love Jesus and I do too, and you love me and I'm crazy about you. On the big deal, baby, we see eye to eye. Of the matter, two are better than one, and at the end of the day, it's a lot more fun. People take that line two different ways right there at the end. When we've begun to see things God's way, so let's submit to one another in the love of the Lord, and let's serve one another, let's walk in His word, and then I know we'll start see things God's way.
Oh, no, no. At least until he gets back here, right? Yeah. That's really true, isn't it? We're just a little bit different. It's very interesting how guys always think that it should be their way. I don't know, I'm just saying, because we ladies do need to have it our way, right? So we both want it our own way, right?
Yeah.
You might, that's what makes it such a mystery.
Here, I want you to keep that. It's the words of the song. You might want to frame that or something. You all know us, almost all of you probably know us to some degree, and you hear us speak every week. And you may not know this, but by far the hardest time for us to speak is when we do something like this. It really,
no idea.
It really is hard, and it has to do with the way we prepare and the way we approach those opportunities to share God's word and to share with people. We approach it extremely different. How many of you are kind of a last-minute preparer? Anybody like me? Look at the men.
Yeah.
How many man's hands are up there? And like Joy said, she's definitely way ahead of the game when it comes to preparation. But we study different, we prepare different, we process thoughts different. I get so much just focus time on the theme and the scriptures I'm going to be talking about when I'm out walking. And even when I'm driving, years ago when we would take those long forever drives from the desert into Long Beach to see my mom, and back in those days, I could hardly drive about an hour without falling asleep. Really, it didn't matter if I'd had a good night's sleep, but as we're driving, I'd always have Joy, you know, jot down this, oh, an idea for a song or an idea for a message or something like that. It just, that's the way that my brain seems to process things. And I'm almost always, some of you see me. How many of you have ever noticed me sitting in the front row right before service making notes? Has anybody ever watched me do that? I'm sorry. I wish I could hide that. More than that, I wish I could change that. And I just can't seem to change that. It's just, there's the closer I get to an event, the more, whether it's a speaking event here, a typical weekend or Wednesday night, it's just that more thoughts seem to sort of pile into the hopper for me. And it's just the way that I'm wired. And it causes sometimes some intense fellowship between us.
And makes me want to kill him.
Kill?
But I hesitate.
Thank you.
Because of these kind of differences, though, because of the way that he's last minute and I'm a planner, one of the things, we've been married, well, I can't tell that, but we've been married a long time, and one of the things that I've learned is that by his spontaneity and by his preparing in the way that he does, it gives me opportunity to trust the Lord. Because I don't have anything else to trust in, you know? And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's changing me into Christ's likeness because I forget sometimes that it's not all about me. It's not all about the way that I do things or the way that I'm comfortable or the way that I want to put it in there. It's not all about me. It's about us, and it's about this marriage bringing glory to God. So that's the important thing that I need. Well, I've learned, and it's an important thing, and it's, that's what God's called us to do.
And it doesn't matter who you are. You're somewhere, whether you're smack dab in the middle between being that unbelievably mysterious person that can be spontaneous and yet plans ahead. That's a really strange animal. But they do exist. But we watch in our children, we have one child that's extremely spontaneous, one that's very, very much on the planning side, and the other two sort of lean one way or the other from that middle point too. But you know, you're stuck with it too. How many of you married somebody that is significantly different than you? Okay, let's
Every
see the hands
should
of
be up.
Let's see
saying.
Let's see the hands of the couples who would say no, we're pretty much alike, and that happens too way back there and yeah,
there's a few
good. Well, like I said, you guys know us, so we're going to give you the PB&J quiz. Okay, Pastor Bill and Joy quiz. How long have we been married? Who knows? No, besides our children, who knows how long we've been married? 41.7 years. Yes. Anybody else here have a June 3rd anniversary? That's us.
Over
June
here.
4th? Close. June 3rd?
June 3rd.
All right. Happy anniversary. We should get to get. No, that wouldn't work out. You don't get it.
No offense.
After
but
anniversary.
No, thank you.
We'll go out and celebrate together. I didn't know that about you guys. How many children do we have? Who wants to answer? And listen, if you're ready to answer, you got to be ready to give us the names of those children. Okay, right here.
4.
Mm-hmm. In the proper order. Well done. Okay. How many grandchildren do we have?
6. 7.
Who wants to try to give us their names? Anybody know them that well? Who knows the names of Bethany and Shannon, Bethany and Jeff's children? Abby, Taylor, and Jack in the proper order. How about Shannon's children, our oldest grandchildren? Was Emmy back there tonight?
She is. She's
Emmy, stand
right
up.
Now.
She's going to be 13 in just a few days.
Yeah, 13.
And Mia's back there too. Mia, where are you at? Oh, you were the one that stood. And she will be 12 one week and one day later. Okay, I just gave you their names, didn't I? It's Emmy and Mia. Okay, what about Jeremy's children? Who knows the names of Jeremy's children?
Micah and Noah.
Micah and Noah, and number 8 is on the way. Anybody know his name? It's Owen. It's Owen. Yes. Well done. Okay. A few more questions here. Where did we live before we came here? Right before we came here?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Where did we live before New Mexico? Australia. Where did we live before Australia? Palm Springs, before Palm Springs, across the valley in? I heard somebody say it, Desert Hot Springs. We knew it as what? Desperate Hot Springs. Desolate Hot Springs. Deserted Hot Springs. It was, and it's more desperate now than ever. Where did Joy and I meet? Long Beach specifically. What was the name of the coffee house? House of Zacchaeus.
See, the problem is you preach this.
I know. Well, I'm just.
All of the answers to these questions.
This is a comprehension quiz to see if anybody's paying attention. You have no idea. This is doing great things for my ego that people actually pay attention when I speak. Okay. What first caught my attention about Joy? You know what? This is a trick question because there's no way in the world I'm going to give you the answer to it. It's a secret between us, but it had something to do with her beauty. Absolutely had something to do with her beauty. And does anybody know? It's not what you're thinking.
Moving right along.
Where did we first go for our first date? We didn't call it a date. She invited me out for coffee. But where did we go? We went to Long Beach. Down on Ocean Boulevard. Now, you have to go back a long way to remember this restaurant. I think it's called the Long Beach Cafe now. Does anybody remember what it was before then? Long time ago. Who got that? Who got that? Well done. Did you know the Long Beach Cafe? Well done, the copper penny. We sat there and I had tea, Joy had coffee, and she taught me to eat French fries with, there was no ranch then, blue cheese dressing. Now the big question, and then we're gonna jump into the message we wanna bring you tonight. Why did we get married? Of course, we loved each other. Serve the Lord together. Mm-hmm. It's a big A word, big long A word.
Attraction.
Attraction was part of it. It was agreement.
No.
Agreement. We found enough things that we agreed on that we felt like it's destiny. We were meant for one another. And what we agreed on are the things that a couple of you have just mentioned. We agreed on Jesus. We agreed on the essentials. We were, and we wore this badge proudly. Well, anybody remember the name that they used to give young Christians back in the early 70s? Jesus Freaks, and we loved it. It was meant to be a put down, and we took it as a compliment. We were both Jesus freaks. We were ex-hippies, and we believed, you know, once that we'd come to agreement on, look, we love Jesus. Our life direction is to serve Him with all of our hearts, and we felt like, man, all we need is love, and this is going to be like heaven on earth. And you're laughing.
Not so much.
We had this love for one another. And we just thought this is just, you know, like nothing we've ever experienced. And every couple believes that. But you don't move forward to the judge, the justice of the peace, the preacher, the priest, wherever you got married, the captain of the ship, wherever it was, unless you had points of agreement. You wouldn't take that walk and begin that long journey of life. Now, we had some differences. I sang about a few of them. Here's a couple of them. Guess what Joy had that I didn't have?
Red hair.
Oh. What, did somebody say reservations? I thought I heard the word reservations. Joy had a job. I didn't have a job. I was serving alternate service at that time for my country. And I was not gainfully employed, but Joy had a job with a paycheck. And she had money in the bank. And I love this about her. This lady in 1971 had a pickup truck. I didn't fall in love with a pickup truck, but I saw the truck. I said, yes. And Joy could cook, which meant what? We could survive. We would grow strong and healthy. She's an amazing cook. The differences, we've talked about some of them already. I'm spontaneous. And Joy is a planner. She's always had a calendar, and she uses it. She has two calendars, and she uses them. She has one she carries and one that's on the wall, and she actually puts things. How many of you plan a little bit more now, at least keeping a calendar, because you got a smartphone that helps you do that? I never was successful at keeping a decent calendar until that came along. So I'm more spontaneous. Joy's a planner. I'm a dreamer. And Joy is very, very practical. You brought this up last night when we were talking about the difference between these two prophets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going through, some of you have been to the ladies' Bible study, and we're going through Zechariah. We just started, and one of the things that stands out about Zechariah is that he was ministering at the same time as Haggai. Haggai and Zechariah were at the same time. But J. Vernon McGee says about Haggai, Haggai was the practical one. He was the one with the measuring tape. He's out there. They're both going to build the temple, and they both have the same thing from the Lord, but the different ways that they go about it. So he's in there. He's measuring out. But Zechariah and Haggai is ministering to the people, and come on, let's get this thing built. Let's do it this way. Here's the plans. This is the direction you should go. But Zechariah was a visionary. And so Zechariah is talking to him in the direction of, you know, encouraging them that, yes, we need to build the temple, but we also need to make sure that we are spiritually prepared to get into the temple and do what God has called us to do. And that's the way it is, I think, with married couples, that we're practical and we're visionaries. And God gave us this idea when he said a practical person and a visionary can work together to the glory of God, because both of those strengths need to be put together. Where one is weak, the other one is strong. And it has to be put together to bring that glory, to bring it all together, to actually build the temple and have what goes on in it, the thing that is what God had meant it to be, in the, that his glory would dwell there.
Yeah. And so it works.
So our marriage meant to be that way. Yeah.
Another issue, another point of difference between us, and the last one, is that it's that area of creativity. And I wouldn't say that Joy is not creative. We're creative in different ways. When Christmas was coming up, and it was several months before Christmas, and every now and then I'll grab my grandkids and I'll say, let's go across the street and buy you some sugar. And so we'll go somewhere, we'll get a drink or something. And we went over to, I think, Whole Foods, and I let the girls get whatever they wanted. And we're sitting there, and I'm not sure if Mia got the same thing, but one of the girls got this lemonade, Herbert's lemonade or something like that, in a glass bottle, and it was empty. And I was just playing with the bottle, and I'm thinking, I held it upside down, and I thought, that would make like a really cool, almost like a light bulb sort of thing. You could put a strand of lights inside that, or maybe you could cut it somehow. I know some people cut glass, and you could make like a succulent platter out of that. I could make those would be great Christmas gifts for the girls in my family. And so I did that, and it was just a moment of looking at something, repurposing it one
way
or another. What's that?
They're really neat. They're fantastic.
I'm glad you liked
them. I love them.
But Joy's creativity when Christmas came along was, how many people do you know that not just decorate the shrubbery in front of the house, but move in shrubbery to decorate in front of the house? She decided, we've got a Christmas tree inside, and she loves decorating a whole lot more than I love decorating. But she loves putting the one up in the house and putting the lights and everything on that. And then that I'll never forget the first time I came home, and there was a Christmas tree in the front yard. And it was a separate freestanding Christmas tree with all kinds of decorations on it. And her creativity comes out in so many... I didn't mean to hit you. That was kind of fast.
You keep doing
that. I didn't mean to do that.
And what about you?
But creativity comes out in different ways. I think creativity is a gift from God, and sometimes you got to stir it more than others. Now, 41.7 years down the road, we found many, many more differences, and all couples have differences. You have differences before you get married. What do you do with them? You know, when you're in the process of, I think she likes me, I think he noticed me, what do you do with those differences that you've noticed? Come on, how many of you noticed a difference or two before you got married? And what do you tell yourself? Let me hear you talk about it. You say, it doesn't matter. You say, it doesn't matter. What was that?
I say, he'll change.
He'll change, or I can change him. Or I can change her, yeah. I think you're either blind to them and you don't notice them because love is in the air and that's all you can see is all that's right about them. Or if you have noticed it, you ignore it for a while, or you say, you know, I can fix that. Or, and you know, this is not a premarital session, or you said, and maybe you did say, I can live with that. And did you notice that the thing you said you could live with before you got married seems like it felt like a you know, just a little dime-sized thing before you got married, and now it feels, you know, like Fort Knox huge. It's just it's massive, and you let it become an irritant. We'll talk about that just a little bit, but maybe you decide, well, I'll fix it later. But the points of agreement between us, even though we found many more points of disagreement and difference between us. The points of agreement remain that we talked about. In our home, it really is and always has been, not saying it all perfectly, but it still has always been this. It's all about Jesus. What we put on the door, we put on our hearts 41 and a half years ago. That this marriage, this family, it will be all about Jesus. So let's talk about those differences that make a difference. And by the way, I don't know where the title came up with, but that's a great, great title. Great title for a book or something like that. And so you guys write that, okay, please. But differences that make a difference. And this is where I wrote down this. Joy had said it when we first came up here. Marriage is a mystery, but it's a wonderful mystery. And you need to learn to enjoy the mystery of that marriage and even enjoy those differences. God chooses two very, very different human beings. One man, one woman. He joins them together for a purpose. I want you to think about this. We'll close with this too. Not right now, but we'll close in a minute. To build something that's strong and to create something that's beautiful and to cook up something that's delicious. Speaking of which, anybody here like guacamole? All right. The chef Joy is going to...
Okay. Well, you know, there's a really fun thing about making guacamole. And you got to have all of your ingredients here.
Is there any way I can help you? I can sit over
you
here.
Let me finish my sentence.
Just be quiet. I'll just sit down over here, and if you need me to hand you something, I'll sit here and enjoy the view. Go ahead.
Oh, there are so many things that are right there. But in 41 and a half years, I have learned some things, and that sometimes that's just to, I hear God saying, shut up, Joy. So, you know, in making guacamole, the one thing is you usually start out with avocado, and we like tomato in ours, so we're just going to do a quick guacamole and talk a little bit about it, and I hope I've got enough together here to, there's something about, well, I can't say that because you're going to say that later. I'll keep you with
you. You can say what you need to say.
I am following. Okay, so the first thing that you're going to put in, of course, you're going to put the main ingredient. The main ingredient is the avocado, and you got to have that in there. And you, you know, as far as this was all supposed to be done before I got here, but you know what? It gives me a chance to do something while I talk, which makes me think better. Like most of you guys, you just kind of keep moving because you've got so much stuff to do. And one time we did this, and I cut my hand. And had to keep talking through it without letting it know that, you know, remember Julia Child? Yeah, yeah. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. Yet they did. But anyway, so you got your avocados in there, and I'm not going to put them all in here, but they're your main ingredient, and that's like, you know, having God in your life. He's your main ingredient, isn't he? But that when you bring another, so, okay. Okay, we'll just mash them. Okay, so the main two ingredients of the guacamole that we make is the guacamole, but it's an avocado and a tomato, totally different from one another. And yet when you put them together, you have to put something with them that makes them taste good, that brings them together, that melds the flavors together, if you will. So I've already got some stuff cut up in here, and when what's in here is some tomatoes and some onions and some hot peppers and, you know, different seasonings and stuff. And the thing is about this is that when it's all mixed up in there, you know, with an onion, it's like the, if you cut it with a really sharp knife, it doesn't bring tears to your eyes. And what does it say about the Word of God? Is sharper than any two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to keep as the center of our marriage is stay in the Word. Stay in the Word of God. I don't mean to point my finger at you. I'm just a mom. I can't help it. But also in here are some, and you know, onions, when they go through the fire, they're kind of hot when they're fresh, right? But when they've gone through the fire, they have a sweet smell. Are a sweet taste, and that's kind of like our lives, isn't it? When we've gone through the fire, we come out with a sweet taste, a sweet flavor to our lives. But, and then there's the hot peppers in there. That little bit of heat really adds to the flavor of the whole thing. You gotta have some heat in your marriage. You gotta have that kind of, that goes in so many directions right now, I just can't even. I don't know where that came. Now I don't know what to do with what I just so I really like to be more prepared than this. So you got it all mixed up in there, and all those flavors mixed together, you've got to have other things added into it. Just the two separate things aren't going to come together and make something really tasty. You've got to have other ingredients in it. Now, other ingredients is not other, it's the good things that we put into our marriage. We put in prayer and we put in reading the Word together, and Bill is really fantastic about that. Bill prays with me every morning before he goes out the door. If we're both at home at the same time, sometimes I leave before he is leaving, and but we always pray together in the morning, and at night he reads the Word to me before we go to sleep. And those are really important things in your marriage and are really, really special to me. So there you go, you got your guacamole. But you know, sometimes what we do is we add a little something else, a little bit of a different thing to it. Okay, why would you have that reaction? Because it's poison, right? So why do we, in our marriages, get all the good ingredients and we mix it up, and then all of a sudden we allow something in that's just a little bit of poison, and it breaks that communication, it breaks that all of the things that we could have together in it, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to break that thing. But you know what? So you can tell them later.
Okay.
All right. So that's my demonstration. That's my part of it. Bill has something to say about the guacamole.
Oh, Julia, get your heart out. Let me try this. It's really good. That was guacamole mix sitting on the top of a vegetable. Was that clever? Did we get you? Do you think it was looking like Jonestown here for a little bit? A few quick points about that blending. That has always just spoken to me, that what could be different, more different than a gnarly looking avocado, just all rough and bumpy on the outside, and this smooth, beautiful looking tomato. And the thought that, whoever thought about putting those two things together? Whoever thought about putting peanut butter and jelly together? Let's just thank God for the person who did that. And steak and potatoes, and you know, those very, very different ingredients. We love watching the show Chopped. And especially the challenging ones, you know, where these weird ingredients, and there's no way in the world you think they would ever get something that would be appealing either to look at or to taste or nutritious. They never open up the basket and there's Ritz and Velveeta. There's never anything that obviously goes together for us, but these strange ingredients that have to be somehow worked down and transformed and made into something beautiful. And you have, if you've, how many have been married here longer than a month? You've discovered the differences. You've discovered the challenges, and it probably didn't take much more than a month or so to discover that. But just a few points, and then we're going to break tonight. But number one is this. You have to, and it's not hard, you have to identify the differences. And stop looking at them as if they're all bad things. But identify the differences. There'll be a blend of strengths and weaknesses. Everybody has weaknesses, and everybody has strengths. And we ran through a list of what some of ours are. How many of you in a marriage, in your marriage, would say you're probably the more patient one? And see, that's a hard thing to have you raise your hand on. How many of you would say you're probably the more impatient one? Let's see those hands. Those go up quickly because it's easier to recognize a fault than to brag about a strength. But and you go back and forth on the fast driver, slow driver, you know, late riser, early riser. But identify the differences, and secondly, accept and affirm those differences. And by the way, Joy touched on this, has to do with the Ajax. We're not talking about affirming sin. You don't accept, you don't affirm the sin, either in yourself or in your spouse. It doesn't need to become this massive war, but sin is that Ajax. Sin is that poison, and it comes in so many different ways. You know, don't settle for, well, I'm the patient one and she's the impetuous one. Or she's the faithful one and I guess I'm just the unfaithful one. You know, if there's sin to be dealt with, you deal with it. She's godly and he cusses like a sailor and just the way that we are. No, those things have to be brought to God and dealt with. He's honest and she's deceptive. Whatever it is, you don't accept it. You personally forsake it. You repent and you forsake it. And here's the harder part of it. I think both sides are hard. Forsaking it, repentance is a hard thing. I have to repent every day. Now, I may not have to get up from falling down the same way, but I have to repent, and then I got to resist the thing I repented of. I know I wear people out with the raise your hand if you agree with me thing, but I really want you to do it on this, okay? How many of you have found that on a daily basis you have to continue to say no to something that your flesh would rather say yes to? Let me see those hands. And we can make it easy. Let's talk about our food. How many of you have food items that are off the list for you from now on for the rest of your life? You had a doctor that told you what you already knew you needed to do. Then if you want to be healthy, then you've got to say no to that. Same thing with the things that are out and out sin. Don't accept it, forsake it. Here's the other hard part. Forgive. Forgive. Accept that person. Take out the trash, but then accept that person. Take that to God together, and you have to work through that. One, yeah.
And can I say, in that too, we're not just talking about the big sins, which were just mentioned there. But, you know, not allowing that poison of bitterness to remain, not allowing that envy and all of those. I have a book at home it's called The Acceptable Sins, things that we've allowed ourselves to accept, and you know, affirming each other rather than tearing each other down. Those are things that are a poison to a marriage, that you just have to build one another up. Look for ways. In fact, and I don't want to take too much time
here,
but I was just listening to somebody today on the radio, and he was talking about a school teacher who had her students. They were really stressed out and stuff. Some of you might have heard it today. All the students were on each other, and they were grumpy and weird and stuff. And she just had them write down, take some time and write down something they liked about the other people in the classroom. And then she read all of those to each one of the kids. She wrote down, she took them all home, and she wrote them all down and gave them out with the name at the top of it, to which one it belonged to. Well, one of those students died and had in his possession that list of things. She said that, first of all, the whole attitude changed because of the things that people liked about them. And then all of the kids admitted that they had kept that list on how important it was that we affirm one another, that we build each other up in that way. And so some of them were even, you know, had it in their wedding book or in their, you know, really had it with them. It was the thing that carried them through, and that affirmation to one another is going to carry us through. There are going to be times when it's going to be hard. There are going to be times when he does things I don't like. And there are going to be times when I do things that just annoy him to no end, but he's really good about it. He doesn't bring it to my attention. I really appreciate that. But but I know that it annoys him because, although he doesn't say it, anyway, but
there's more ways of expressing yourself than verbal, so is I think what she's saying.
So much, and we all do. But you know, just making sure that we affirm one another, because that tearing down is one of that those bits of poison in that we don't want in. It's Ajax. We don't want it.
Yeah. You know, and I look around the room here tonight, and I can identify so many strong couples that approach these things differently than we do. And please don't think because we're laughing at ourselves that we take these things lightly, or that, that even those clashes at times aren't serious. And we haven't had the kind of battles between us that have ever gotten physical. We haven't raged. I mean, we've raised our voices a few times in our marriage, but we have never made it a habit of yelling and screaming at each other. But we've had many, many cold wars. We've had many times where it was longer than a few days that it just got really quiet between us. A friend of mine wrote a song that every time I hear this song, I just have to stop and check my heart. It's called In the Quiet House. And we won't talk about it because the anger might come out. And there's been some of those times that I don't look back on those with pride. I'm not happy that those are a part of our story, but they are. And so we're still struggling to make sure that Jesus is first, and that that we do marriage in a way that glorifies him and allows us to touch a world. So you identify the differences, you accept and affirm the differences, and the person without affirming the sin, and together you take those things to Christ. And thirdly, and this is the last of the 3 points, you start blending those differences. You start blending them together and just saying, God, look, we're different. We're never gonna change the core of who we married. With those wonderful strengths that you gave them, and maybe even the place they're a little bit weaker, that I can fill that in for them. That's never, ever probably going to change. Do you really want to be married to you? Do you want to change someone to where they're so much like you that it's like being married to you? I wouldn't want to marry me. I don't know why you did, but I'm glad she did. But we're going to have to blend the differences, put them in the bowl. Tell them what the bowl is, babe, what the bowl represents.
In the hands of God.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah, that's what it says. That's what we talked about the other night. But the bowl represents putting all those things that are us into the hands of God. I love the way that Joy used to do this demonstration. Anybody remember how she used to do the demonstration? Started to do it the first few times? She'd do it with her hands. She'd get her hands in there and she'd just smash all that up. And that's how God does it. We're in his hands. And you put everything that you've got and everything you're pleased with and not pleased with, you pour it all into the hands of God, and you trust him. And you wait. And Joy's got a great illustration about the blending process on a certain item that takes some time. You don't mix it up, you don't make it quick. I didn't know this till last night.
You ladies know that when you make mayonnaise, you put the eggs in the blender, and then you slowly put the oil in, and let it mix. Well, not just ladies know that. I know there are a lot of guy cooks out here, but don't take offense. But, you know, you've got to do it slowly. If you pour all of the oil in at one time, it messes up the whole thing. It has to be done really slowly while it's whirling around, while all this stuff is going on. A little bit of change is happening, and that's what emulsifies it. That's what brings it all together. And those are the things that we need to be patient with one another in terms of we want the other person to change, and we want ourselves to change. Most of us want ourselves to change, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we look at ourselves and we go, oh, I don't measure up in that. Oh, gosh, I wish I hadn't done it that way. But we want to change, and we want to change right now. It's that oil of the Holy Spirit that has to come in. Slowly, that oil of the Holy Spirit comes in, and it mixes with that whole mix, and those two things come together, and they make one thing that is really tasty and looks good, it tastes good, and it's legal. You know what I'm saying? It's not what Eve looked at and said, it looks good, it tastes good, it draws my attention. It is something that brings glory to God, not taking glory away from God.
Yeah. And you think you're not good spontaneously. That was great. There were no notes here for that. That was
we
amazing.
We will talk about this later.
You keep that smile on your face when we do. Okay, that'd be great. Let me read this to you. In fact, I'm going to ask Joy to read it because I didn't bring my reading glasses.
Oh.
Verse 1 down through verse 7.
We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Accept one another. Love each other. Forgive each other. Pray for one another. Ephesians chapter 4, from about verse 21 to 32, towards the end of the chapter, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ forgave you. And, you know, there's so much more to talk about with those differences and blending with one another, the kindness and the way you speak to each other, the patience, even the tone of voice. We talked so much about this, where you can say the right thing the wrong way, and you're going to pay for it for a long time, men or women, you know. So to weigh your words carefully as if you're talking to your best friend, because that person needs to be your best friend. I've realized so many times I have given a barista the better side of me and given Joy the worst side of me. And that, you know, as it says in Scripture, these things ought not to be. I want to give Joy the absolute best side of me. And I don't want anybody to get the bad side of me, because the bad side of me is just bad. But to show kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiving one another. And listen, those differences that we're talking about tonight, they are the key ingredients. We need those to make it work and to build strength and to cover each other in those weak areas. So I think all of this is about moving from the frustration of those differences to fruitfulness. And you need all those things firing, all those strengths that you have, blending them together and getting the work done for Jesus. Yeah, we're all different, but we got to make it work. We've got to build. We can only build with what we have, right? We can only build with what God gave us, the ingredients. So pick your favorite metaphor, your favorite analogy here, and there's three of them. You paint, and you each brought different colors to the palette, didn't you? You brought different items, different shades of color to the palette. So you make your marriage a work of art and create something that is absolutely beautiful, and you will. And there'll be some dark strokes in there as well, because life is full of crisis and challenges. And how many of you have felt too much of that by your estimation? No one. Okay, you ready for more? Good. Build, you know, construct something that's strong and safe, a refuge. And I love this last one. We've talked about it. To blend and cook something, make something out of your marriage and your home that's just delicious. Where people say, I want a taste of that. I want that. I want that between us. So learn to stop the criticism and start making some very, very critical decisions and start enjoying this mystery of marriage. It all starts with a conversation. You know, your walk with Jesus, it began with a conversation, didn't it? He spoke to your heart and you spoke back to him and said, forgive me and save me. First conversation. Let those conversations happen between you as well. The song that Shannon and Ryan and Jen sang a little bit earlier, there's no other name. There's no other name but Jesus. Lift his name high. And may your marriage be this beautiful construct of all these different materials that just wow the world as they look on and see what you built there in your little plot, wherever God has placed you. And may they say of you, wow. And may you say to them, it's him. Look what he did with two people that shouldn't be getting along, and yet look at us, we are. I know there's deep issues that some of you probably have to deal with, but be diligent to do that. There's a song, not a song, but a poem that I wrote for Joy, and I can't remember how long ago. I think I can quote it without looking down at it. It was one of the, it's a real quick thing. Let me share this with you, and then we'll pray. We were young and in love with each other, and it seemed as if time had stood still when we found in each other a treasure that I knew would endure, and it will. Because when I feel her touch on my shoulder, and in the morning her kiss on my brow, her touch and her kiss take me back to the time when we were young and in love, just like now. And we're not going to change that. We're gonna get up from the challenges. We're going to move on from the confrontations. And we're going to seek God together. And our plan is to glorify him and do what he wants us to do. So that's our. Anybody got any questions? Are we supposed to do questions? Okay. Jeff, yes or no?
Yes.
Does anybody have any
Bill
questions?
Bill mentioned about some of you are going through some really tough things, and that's not because we know anything that's going on here. We really don't. But I just want to encourage you, if you're going through tough stuff, you've done the first step. You're here tonight, and you've said, I want to make a difference. I want it to be different. But remember, the hard times need to be in the hands of Jesus at the same time as our good times needs to be in the hands of Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about when it says that marriage is a mystery, it speaks of Christ and the church. Do you know why it gets so much challenge to it? Because it's there for the purpose of glorifying God. Mm-hmm. And so when you're going through those hard times, just remember that I am going to make it through. I want to say sometimes the one thing that would, a long time ago I decided that I wanted to have my hour a 50-year wedding anniversary. And there are days when things are challenging, and I have to remember I can't celebrate that 50th wedding anniversary if I don't stay. And sometimes that's all I need to make me stay. You know? You just have to have something that you go, okay, I can do this. For this length of time, I can do this. Yeah. You know, because it's like when you're on a diet or something, and you say, I can't have that food right now. We don't tell ourselves, I can never have that food. I cannot have that food right now. And that gives us strength to make it through.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I look around this crowd, and I see people that, to Joy and I, you have become teachers to us. I mean that. I could start naming names, but I would leave some out, and I'd feel horrible about that. But we have watched couples in this room walk through the most horrendous things, and we've watched you do more than survive. We've watched couples that have fallen and gotten back up and demonstrated what mercy really means. At some point in your life, mercy has to become more than a doctrine. It has to become so real. And we have seen remarkable mercy and grace and strength and patience and respect. And thank you, you guys, you couples of refuge that have shown us what marriage looks like in the toughest times. And we've watched God do amazing things and watched your kids grow up. And we applaud you. Like Joy said, you're here. But we applaud you for being more than here, for committing yourself to the long haul. And I want to take your picture. So hold really still, okay? And I'm going to do it like this. Okay. This is the first, Jeff.
It's the first.
Okay, here we go. Smile, everybody. Don't move. She puts her head down. Done. And then can we pray for you guys? Okay. Father God, I thank you for this crowd of couples and many families represented, children back home, Lord, and grandchildren. And God, I just thank you for them taking the time to come out tonight and to just do something that will hopefully strengthen their marriage. And Lord, in every home, I know there's degrees of difference, and I pray that they'd celebrate those differences, Father, acknowledge them and accept one another, and then begin to blend together those differences and make something that is just so beautiful, so strong, so delicious, Lord, so appealing, that glorifies you, something you smile down upon, Lord God, that glorifies you and touches a world that needs to see what love really looks like. So God, empower every couple here, and thank you for what you started tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's thank Bill and Joy. Thank you, guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.